The image of sheep and shepherds is prolific in the Bible. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah says about God, like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom, leading the ewes with care. We probably are all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. It's probably a favorite of many of ours. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, God chastises the wicked shepherds of Israel who are leading his people astray. And through the prophet, God says, I myself will pasture my sheep. I will give them rest. The lost I will search out, the stray I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, and the sick I will heal. God says that he himself will come to be the shepherd of his people. Then in the gospel reading today, we hear Jesus say that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and they know me. Jesus says that he is God, come to care and shepherd his flock. And then he expands the image. He expands the image of the people of Israel, those who were ethnically and religiously Jewish. He says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's why St. John, in the second reading today, could say, Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God, yet so we are. We were all scattered about like sheep without a shepherd, lost. And Jesus came as the good shepherd to gather us all together into his flock. He does this through his death and resurrection. This is how he proves that he is the good shepherd, because he lays down his life so that we can be saved. Jesus says he lays down his life as a sacrifice, and then he takes it back up again. He lays down his life to forgive our sins, the sin we inherit from Adam and Eve and our own personal sins. And then he rises from the dead to incorporate us into his family by the sacrament of baptism. So that's why in baptism we say that we both die with the Lord, we go down into that forgiveness, but then we rise again to new life, the new life of the resurrection. As God's children, we become part of his family, the flock which is the church, in the sacrament of baptism. Now, I think we can all admit that families are very complicated things. All of our families are complicated, and that's okay. There's a very famous family that's been in the news a lot recently, the British royal family. Imagine how you would feel if a member of your family went on TV with Oprah and aired all your dirty laundry. Probably wouldn't much care for that. But then we had another example in the British royal family, Prince Philip, when he died very recently. And we looked at him and his dedication to his family, lifelong, and to their nation. It's another example of how families can be complicated, how in families there are privileges and there are responsibilities. Now, luckily, our families are not quite as public as the British royal family, but we all have privileges and responsibilities. If we're the oldest child, there are privileges and responsibilities that come with that. If we're the only girl or the only boy, And certainly if we're the youngest child. Now, as the oldest child, I can tell you that the youngest gets away with everything. So there are lots of privileges to being the youngest child. Of course, I'm just using this as an example. Please don't send me letters about this. I'm not trying to be offensive. But it's just an example that in families there are privileges and there are responsibilities. And the same is true in the family of the church, in the family of our faith. We all have privileges because we are baptized members of God's flock. The sheer gift of God loving us is a privilege beyond measure. Nothing that we have ever done or will ever do will make us worthy of that, but yet God loves us. What a privilege that is. John puts it so beautiful. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we might be called children of God. And then he goes on to say, we're God's children now, but what we shall be has not yet been revealed. There's even more. There's even more that God wants to give to us. Then we look at the sacraments. We've already talked about baptism. But the sacraments are privileges. They're gifts of grace. God's divine life coming to live within us. Driving onto the parking lot this morning, you may have noticed the tent at the end of the parking lot. We're not having a revival here this weekend. But what we did have was the confirmation retreat. Our candidates for the sacrament of confirmation came together this weekend to pray and to reflect on the sacrament. Maybe all of our candidates can raise your hands so that the folks can see you. Go ahead, raise your hands. All right. Wonderful to have you with us today. Thank you, everyone. To receive the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation, think about what a privilege that is. For God to bestow the fruits and the gifts of his Spirit on us, that we can use them and call on them at any time. A tremendous privilege. And then we have the privilege of being part of the church and part of our parish community. To have a family of faith in which to be supported and guided. But then there are also responsibilities in God's flock. We do have a responsibility to build up the community of the church and to build up our parish community, to use our gifts and talents for the sake of the community, not to keep them as our own private possession, but to use them and share them. But then our greatest responsibility is to avoid the enemy of the flock. Who is a sheep's greatest enemy? The wolf, right? The wolf comes to scatter the flock, to destroy the flock. The greatest enemy of the flock of the church, of the flock, God's flock, is the devil. Because he comes to trap us, to scatter us, to call us away from the flock. So our greatest responsibility is to avoid the wolf and his temptations and traps. To avoid the evil one. As I said at the beginning of Mass today is also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And we commemorate that on this fourth Sunday of Easter, this Good Shepherd Sunday, as we meditate and reflect on how Jesus is the supreme shepherd of his flock, but that he also invites others to share in his role and ministry of shepherding. Specifically those to whom he has given the vocation to be priests. The call to the priesthood is essentially a call to shepherding and fatherhood. As a shepherd cares for his flock, as a father guides and protects his family, so the priest shepherds, guides, and protects God's flock. I can say that it is truly a privilege that God gives to the priest, I'll speak from my own, on my own here, that gives to me to be the shepherd of this portion of his flock. Unfortunately, these days we're all too aware of those priests who have failed in that mission. But that serves as a call to greater awareness on our part, on the priest's part, on my part, a greater awareness and greater fidelity and responsibility to the privilege which I have been given. Our parish family has been blessed with many seminarians who have been assigned here. We have Ron here, who is with us now, and Seminary Mike Masulia, who will be beginning his pastoral year in June with us. We've seen many of these seminarians be ordained priests to reach the completion of their journey. Last year, we had the ordination of the very first native son of our parish to become a priest, Father Zach Crowley. And we're also sponsoring a seminarian for his studies in the Archdiocese, Seminarian Zach Watson. We like the name Zach around here. But we've been trying very intentionally to build up a culture of vocations in our parish. But we also have to intentionally build up a culture of vocations in our families, to understand that God gives each and every one of us a particular calling, a particular vocation, in which we will find happiness in this life and then be with him forever in heaven. And vocations to the priesthood don't just fall out of the sky. We're never born priests. But priests come from families, just like yours, your sons, your grandsons. So today, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, let us remember to build up a vocation, a culture of vocations within your families, to pray for vocations, and also please remember to pray for your priests. My friends, what a wonderful privilege to be a son or daughter of God. What a wonderful privilege to be a member of God's flock. We remember that Jesus is our good shepherd, that he knows you and everything that you need in this life. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. For he will lead you and guide you to green pastures, where his mercy will be with you all the days of your life, and where you will dwell in the house of the Lord in this life and forever with him in heaven.